Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harrop. I'd like to thank you all for calling in, walking in the footsteps of Jesus Ministries. Today, we're going to be reading from Mark, the 16th chapter. We're going to be studying verses 15 through 18. Before we begin, let's all pray, my friends, together. Lord Jesus Christ, right now we pray for the victims in Texas. We also pray for that the victims that's going to happen in Florida if the hurricane hits. We pray for the people of Cuba who have suffered through the hurricane as well. We pray for many people who have suffered through this hurricane season, Lord. Help rebuild their lives and let them feel your love and presence in their lives, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who reigns forever. Amen. Amen. So, my friend, let's begin reading this chapter right now, beginning with verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. My friend, just reading this, like Jesus told his apostles what to do, if you notice in the church, in many churches, we should say, it's not being taught this anymore. And the thing of it is, if the churches don't believe that the Lord could give us these powers, these gifts that he could give us, of course, we're not going to get these gifts because God's not going to give us something that we do not believe. And my friends, that is very disturbing because as a church, we should believe this. We should have faith that this could happen. We should have faith that we can cast out the demons of the world. We should have faith that we can speak in tongues. In many churches, there is debate about tongue speaking. Tongues had died away when the apostles died. Well, my friend, according to Scripture, it doesn't say that. We still have the power to speak in tongues to this day. It's up to you to believe it. If you believe it, you're going to be speaking in tongues. If you believe it, you will have the power to heal someone with sickness. And if someone with sickness believes that the touching of hands by someone filled with the Holy Spirit, who God has given the gift to heal, can heal that person, it will happen. You see what I mean? If you don't believe it, you're not going to be healed. And if a person saying that they can heal people and just does not believe that they can do it, it's not going to happen because you have to have that faith to do it. God's not going to force you and I to believe things he told us to believe. We have to be willing to believe it. We have to trust in him to believe it. Our Lord is not a forceful God. He does not force himself upon you and I. He wants you and I to believe that he can do this for us. Amen. Now, what about touching serpents? Does this mean he's telling you and I during a church service to play with poisonous snakes in the worship service? No. That would be tempting our Lord or God by playing with a deadly snake and hopes that it would bite us to prove to the world that we could be healed from it. on the contrary. What that means is, because of our faith, it just says a deadly serpent were to bite you and I. It would not affect us if we have that faith. For instance, we know in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake. Paul just threw it aside and went on his way, and nothing happened to him. You know why? Because Paul believed the words Jesus said. Jesus said the snake bite would not affect him. And he believed it, and the snake bite didn't affect him. And Paul also knew that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted him to go to Rome. Remember, in the book of Acts, he had a vision of Jesus telling him he would go to Rome. So, he knew that once the serpent bit him, God's word would come true, that the serpent's bite would not affect him, because otherwise, with the words that the Lord Jesus Christ told him would not have been true. But he knew, in fact, it was true, so he had the faith to know that serpent would not have bitten him. I do believe, just as what happened in the Garden of Eden, that the snake was probably possessed by a demon to bite the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul did not lose his faith when he was bitten. He didn't say, oh my gosh, I'm bitten by a snake. He just flung it off because he had that faith. Now, I'm not telling you to, if you say you have bitten by a snake and fling it off and nothing happens to you, don't go to a doctor. Go to a doctor just to show the world that you're healed. Don't lay there and let your arm be puffed up in case you don't have that faith, okay? But more than likely, if you have that faith, you don't have to worry about it. Just go to the doctor just to make sure and make your family feel relieved that that nothing has happened to you. Also, it talks about drinking poisonous stuff, meaning that people who want to shut us off will do anything necessary to try to kill us off. In fact, history tells us that the Apostle John, before he was sent to the island of Patmos, poisoned by the Roman authorities. They tried to shut him up through poison. But did it kill him? No. So once he drank the poison and they didn't kill him because he had that much faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't die. So what did they do? They thought by sending him to the island of Patmos that somehow John would shut up. Well, did he shut up? No. Because he had a vision that the Lord had given him. It was the vision of the book of Revelation. And John found a way to send that book he wrote after seeing this vision to the churches who needed to see it. So faith is right here, my friend. Have faith in what the Lord tells you and how to do. And we do need to pray for revival within our churches, because think of it is, can we really call ourselves the body of Christ when you think about it? We're so separated by different denominations. If you ask somebody if they believe in Jesus Christ, what is the first thing they do when they tell you about their faith? They tell you about what denomination they belong to, do they not now? I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic, I'm United Methodist. I'm a Pentecostal, I'm from Church of God, I'm a Lutheran. Well, those names and titles are not going to get you into heaven, even though some denominations will tell you that to be part of their denomination will get you into heaven. Well, what's going to get you into heaven is Jesus Christ. And the sad thing about these denominations is that all of them will agree that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. They all will agree that through Jesus is salvation, and the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. But yet, because of theology thinking that we put religion inside these churches, they believe their denomination is pretty high, equal with Jesus. So, you could say they confuse the world when someone from the Baptist or a Catholic church, or a Methodist, or any other denomination says, yes, we have what our Lord teaches us, but don't go down to the Baptist church down the street, or the Methodist church, or the Episcopalian church, because they don't believe the way we do, so all those people over there are not going to heaven. And especially don't go where the Pentecostals are. They speak in tongues. So they're not really in touch with the Lord. But right there it says, in the chapter I just read, that we are supposed to speak in tongues. I am not saying that all Pentecostals are going to go to heaven. I believe a lot will. I believe a lot of people from other denominations will go to heaven as well. But yet, if you put your denomination above God, you're going to find out that you're confusing the message, and heaven may not be your home if your religion happens to be more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. Does the Lord Jesus Christ really care about our theological differences that we argue about? I don't think he does. I think what he wants you to do is he wanted us to do. Go out to all the nations and preach his word to all people who do not know him. When we spend time fighting among ourselves about theological differences, we do not help the body to grow. When we start criticizing a fellow Christian because of the denomination they come from, rather than celebrating that person who comes from the denomination, bringing someone to Jesus Christ, we poo-poo it and say, well, that person isn't saved because they're saved in that denomination. So their salvation is not real. That's why it's ridiculous when the Catholics and the Baptist churches have rebaptism. If you join either a Catholic church or a Baptist church, you do not accept other baptisms. And why that is ridiculous, because if you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit already and go through the whole thing about dying for Christ or being baptized by water, you're already baptized. I know that is a Methodist thinking, but in this case, the Methodists are correct. So, we should not question someone's salvation. We should be celebrating that they turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job as a church is told to us in the book of Acts what we should do with each other. Jesus himself tells you and I to pray for one another. So if we pray for one another, so our brother and sister does not fall into sin, doing his work. So we need to help our brother and sister in Christ who just became a Christian to grow, to understand what the Lord is. Do not teach about the philosophy of what your church believes. Teach what Jesus believed. Teach what the apostles taught us to do. Remember, the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit to tell the churches how to be a church, how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, when the apostles had differences, they didn't fight among themselves. They all had a meeting in Jerusalem. Remember that? From the book of Acts and other scriptures in the New Testament, they had meetings in Jerusalem and discussions that allowed the Holy Spirit to lead them on a decision they were going to make. For instance, there was a debate about circumcision within the church. Remember, Christianity did not start by pagans. It was part of the Jewish faith. It was the continuation of what the Jewish faith was going to be, because Jesus came from there, and according to Scripture, he was the Messiah. And they had to teach even the Gentiles the Torah. Remember, there was no New Testament for them to go by. They had to use the Torah as a way to go by, how to teach the people. And you had some people who believed that you had to go with the civil laws of Judaism, but with circumcision. They were trying to say circumcision was the way to salvation. But remember, circumcision only meant a covenant between Abraham and Abraham's descendants, Isaac and Jacob, and then his descendants afterward. They had nothing to do with salvation, which Paul was trying to argue, because Paul believed, because the Holy Spirit was telling him this, that by having the new converts circumcised was going to make them turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ because it was all about their faith in him. Their salvation had nothing to do with being circumcised. What it had, what their faith had to be was the change of heart that the Holy Spirit had already given them. And so they all agreed to it once the argument was set that circumcision was not a part of salvation. So they didn't have to be circumcised. What they needed to do was change, have a change in their heart, have the Holy Spirit live within them by accepting Jesus Christ. And through that, they're supposed to refrain from sexual immorality and eating meat that was choked. And why meat that was choked? Because if you don't let the meat out when it's choked, you don't know what kind of disease an animal may have had, and you could get sick. Unlike cutting the blood open and letting the blood dry out of the animal, where you wouldn't have to worry about getting sick from any blood diseases that the animal may have. That's why that was done. But, again, we as a church shouldn't, if we really want to be called a united church, we should have a meeting among ourselves and look at what the apostles did and see what they did to bring unity within the church. And that's how it's done. And that's how revival starts. If we start teaching a new convert to Jesus Christ about our denomination, rather than knowing Jesus, following his way, what have we accomplished? Not a thing, because the denomination is not going to get you into heaven, but the Lord Jesus Christ is. So I tell you, if you want to know more about Jesus, you need to read the book of Acts. You need to read the letters of the apostles. Yes, we can read more about what Paul had written, but Paul was, after all, the apostles of the Gentiles. His ministry still goes on today when we read his letters. So we understand how we should live as a community of believers. And there's other people in there as well. We have Peter, we have Jude, we have John. So we have guidelines to understand how we should walk with the Lord. We should never, never fall away from him. We should never, never allow our theological beliefs to get in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know a few people who will tell you when God created man, here's the difference between what they believe. One believes that at the same time God created man, he also created the angels. Another friend told me he believed the angels were created first before man was created. Well, right there, you could say, is a theological difference. But should that tear these two from speaking to one another? Should they fight among each other? Should they tear up a church about it? No. And the reason why I say this is because if neither one of us fully know the answer, we're putting our own theories into what is scripture. One may be right, the other may be right, but the most important thing we should do is think of Jesus first, because it's not about you and I. It's not about our own theory. This ministry is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the one we should hold up high first. In certain things, we should agree to disagree, but never disagree that Jesus, the only way to get to heaven, because he is the only way to get to heaven, because he said so. And if we believe he is the only way to get to heaven, we believe of what he did 2,000 years ago by going on the cross, to be crucified, to die for our sins. That is what he had done. He died for you. He died for me. He died for all mankind. He didn't die for a certain few. He died for everyone. Jew and Gentile, were now included in the salvation plan he had for mankind. It's only up to you and I to accept it. Again, Christ Jesus will not force you and I to follow him. He wants you and I to follow him out of love for him, because he loves you. He wants that same connection that he had with Adam before Adam cut his connection off when he bit into the forbidden fruit. He wants that spiritual connection that he once had with Adam. And by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit living within us, we have that same Holy Spirit that lived with Adam before he fell. Now the Holy Spirit's living within us, and we have communion with God Almighty right there through the Holy Spirit, and we feel his love within our heart. So no matter what happens to you and I in this world, but the devil is trying to do everything he can to persuade us to turn away from him. He may add financial burdens on you. He may try to hurt you through your family or hurt you through your job. But remember, when you walk with the Lord, he's always with you. And bad times cannot last forever, because the Lord is through it and defeats Satan for what he did to you. And things will get better. For instance, Joseph, he was told by God as a young man that he would be a mighty man. But yet, his brother sold him into slavery. Then, when he was a slave, he was accused falsely of rape and thrown in jail. God's plans did not look like they were going to come true. But God still walked with Joseph. And Joseph still has faith in the Lord, that the Lord would answer him. The Lord will be with him. And the Lord will make the things he planned for him come true. And it did, because Joseph became governor of Egypt. Satan may try to tell you God's plans for you are dead because he stopped him. He stole them from you. But let me tell you this, my friend. Satan is a liar. He may tell you things that God has promised you won't come true because he stole them from you. But the Lord is with you right now. Hold tight, hold faith. Things will get better. And the things that Satan told you will not happen to you will happen to you, because it's promised by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Satan is nothing but a petty liar. He will tell you anything to lose faith. He will try to kidnap you from the love of God, but the love of God is always with you. So do not lose faith and continue walking with the Lord our God. He will get you through this. If you lost a job, you'll get a better job. If things are happening right now bad in your family, things will get better with your family. If things are going bad in your church family, things will go right with your church family. Everything will turn out all right because the Lord is walking with you, and things will turn out all right because Jesus Christ is still King. He is still alive. He is still ministering to the world through you and through me, through people he's called into ministry. Remember, why did he call us into ministry 2,000 years ago? Because we were supposed to continue his ministry here upon the earth. If he had stayed here upon the earth, he would have had to be a conqueror. And let me remind everybody, only a few people knew who he was. And a lot of people would have to be under his harshful judgment. But how he did it by grace is that you and I, who are now saved, go out there and spread the word. Tell them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, who made us, who is our Father, who wants to have a relationship with us. We tell people the truth about that. They know, and they come to the Lord, do they not now? If we really tell them that, to go religion, take religion out of it, and bring Christ back into our faith, people will come, and a revival will happen. It's happened in the past, it can happen now. My friend, don't let Satan tell you any otherwise. Satan may tell you no revival will ever happen no more, but he is a liar. the Lord Jesus Christ will come through. Remember, let's continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter if the world tells us to shut up, when the last Gentile, who the Lord God knows, who the Lord our Father knows, will be saved, that's when he'll come for his church. And then you'll see mighty things happen when he'll come down as the conquering king for his own. And anyone who has the Antichrist mark upon them and follows the Antichrist because they worship him, we all know their faith. But those who stay faithful to the Lord, even during those terrible times, will be rewarded by our King Jesus, by our Father, and they will be rewarded. Our Lord will always be with us. And just think, when he takes over, bad times will be over. And forever, the King of Peace, the Lord of Lords, will rule. There'll be no more killing. The lion will lay down by the lamb. And we all love each other forever and ever with our Lord guiding us. My friends, I'd like to thank you all for calling me tonight. I'm going to stop here for tonight. I'd like to say thank you for calling in. And those who will download this program later, I thank you as well. I'd like to say, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your all's life. May you feel his blessings upon you. May you always feel his righteousness. And my friends, do not let religion ever stand in your way of following Jesus. When you are baptized by the Holy Spirit and by water, you are baptized and you are saved. It is not your religion that saves you. It's not by being a Baptist or a Catholic or a Methodist, Pentecostal or Church of God or Lutheran that's going to save you. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who will save you. How are you going to be? And that's how you are saved. Go out into the world, my friend, and teach others about the Lord Jesus Christ. For I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. My friends, call in next week, and we'll be having another Bible study. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you, and may Christ Jesus give you peace forevermore from your mind to your heart. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.